We welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lea to the program. Clark, we are glad to have you every week on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thank you so much. So let's start with some major news from last week in the SEC. The conference announced that its teams will play a 9-game conference schedule starting next season, as well as requiring each team to schedule at least one additional high-quality non-conference opponent from the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, or Notre Dame. Now, your schedule is already among the toughest in the country, and it's about to get tougher. So what was your reaction to hearing that news from the SEC?
Well, I mean, I think in some ways we've been, you know, I don't know what the right expression is, kicking this can around for a couple of years now. I just kind of anticipated eventually it would get to this. Obviously, 9 games plus the additional quality opponent. I mean, that is as, you know, as challenging as it comes. But I think that's, you know, when you're in this league, you expect that kind of stuff. And I don't look. I've always said. I mean, they'll determine, you know, how many conference games, who we play, put them on the schedule and line them up and let's play the games. I'm just not going to put that much energy into it. We got to focus on continuing to build this program. We got to focus on the schedule we have this season, and we'll deal with next season as it comes.
Clark, of course, the Netflix docuseries Any Given Saturday was a big hit. We've all watched it and enjoyed it. And as it was being filmed, I imagine you really didn't notice the cameras as you were coaching and addressing your players. But when you had an opportunity to watch it, how did you feel you and your program were portrayed? And on a lighter note, were there any moments captured in the series that made you say, is this how I really am?
I think I said it. We watched our portion of it as a team. So just the portion that Vanderbilt was featured in. I thought it was important that we got our eyes on it at the same time. You know, as first of all, Netflix does an unbelievable job box to box. I thought all class professionals. I mean, those guys are the best of the best. And yet this is reality TV, and there are going to be heroes made. There are going to be narratives that are kind of pulled to the forefront that may not actually represent, you know, exactly what, how it transpired or exactly what the pulse of the program is. And so to see it all the same, and to watch it together was important to me. When we finished watching it, my first question, God, is that how I really sound? You know, that's what I asked the team. They all laughed. At the end of the day, it was authentic. I thought my biggest point of concern in it all was I'm not going to change. I'm not going to go on a script. I'm not going to alter the way I communicate with my team. If anything, it was an opportunity for people to see how we operate behind the scenes and to get a feel for what it is like to be a part of this program. I felt like that came through, and yet there's no way in the world that they could accurately portray what last season was. And really, you know, there are so many great stories within last season that really go unaddressed. And that's not Netflix's fault. That's just the nature of the beast. I mean, they're following a bunch of different teams, and there are a bunch of different things going on. But, you know, we have to be okay with it not being 100% exactly how it all happened. And yet I thought, they captured authentically what our program's like internally, and hopefully football fans enjoyed getting a glimpse of that.
We'll talk with Vanderbilt's head football coach, Clark Lea. And Clark, I enjoyed it a lot. We talked about it the next day. We all saw it. So I really did enjoy it. And you know how they featured you and your program. It was top notch. But you return a lot of your production from last season to this season. Are your concerns the same this season heading into your first game as they were last season?
Well, I think in the first game, you're always concerned about just being crisp and clean and executing and those kinds of things. I mean, obviously we do the best we can to work through scrimmages and try to iron out all the potential details that need to be covered, and yet the ball's going to be put down and we're going to make mistakes, and we hope to limit those mistakes. every year is different. And so, you know, the boat we built last year for Team 4 is necessarily different than the one that we're building out for this team. Paying attention to the fact that we do return a lot of players. We do have a lot of veteran leadership on this team. That doesn't guarantee us anything. And so staying young and hungry on one side, but also really focusing on how we can stay healthy and try to sustain performance through what is going to be a really challenging season. You know, the interesting thing to me is, you know, we are still such an underdog and we're still such a program that's just counted out, and we have to earn so much of the respect if we're going to get it. And yet, you know, with the Netflix documentary and all the things that are going on, we are getting more of the spotlight, and there's more being talked about in terms of this program publicly, a part of the public narrative. And, you know, I just got to continuously recenter this program, recenter this team on the fact that, you know, we have so much out in front of us to prove. And last year, all of those things were kind of second nature. We were coming off a 2-10 season, and you know, no one really had any, we weren't a part of any conversation. I think this year we have to be really disciplined in the way we approach our work, the way we invest, understanding the goals we have and how hard it's going to be. All that stuff kind of sets the course for how we operate internally. And again, you know, the boat is different this season because it needs to be, and yet the fundamentals of who we are and how we're going to win and the things that we need to do to find success this year won't change.
Clark Lee is with us, Vanderbilt head football coach. And Coach, what one thing that we've noticed and learned in this short time that NIL and transfers have existed is it's not about maybe what maybe you initially envisioned in the SEC was grabbing the second string quarterback off of another team in your league or a Big Ten team. A lot of times it's finding those other guys that have been sort of lost in the shuffle who have developed. And I'm thinking of that when I ask you about Trey Richardson, who is coming over from Division II. I'm hearing really good things about him. You've had some success with players who maybe come from the same kind of developmental path. So what are you seeing from him?
Well, he has speed, and he comes from Wichita, Kansas. We have a pretty strong Kansas with Tim Beck and Jerry Kill and those guys. And so a lot of it has to do with, as you say, some of these kind of under the radar players that you know, there's someone that we trust who's worked with them or had eyes on them or knows a little bit more about their story, can kind of explain away some of the complexity of it and say, hey, this guy's a really good player, a really good kid. And all those things are Trey Richardson. I mean, he's had a wayward path. He's earned the right to be here. He's changed the speed dynamic on our field. I mean, this guy really has the ability to run away from you. That's obviously going to make us better on defense too, as we compete against him. But that is kind of a common refrain in how we operate is we're not afraid of, again, the under the radar player, the chip on the shoulder player. We just want to gather as much information as we can that tell us that this predicts to someone who can impact winning. And when we have connections with coaches or people that have trained an athlete or again, been around them for an extensive exposure, and we're getting the positive feedback from those places, we tend to trust those relationships and trust our eyes and evaluation. And hopefully this one pays off. I mean, Trey's been such a great addition to this point. We've been really impressed with him through practice. And now it's about taking all that preparation and applying it in competition.
I know one thing I'm sure you've gone back and looked at. One of the strengths of your team last year was really grinding teams, ball control, lower the possessions, and win with doing the little things with special teams and things like that. But at the same time, I know you want to grow with you know, taking your shots and getting more explosive plays. How's that process going for you?
Well, that's exactly right. We don't want to lose our identity. We still want to run the ball to win and to be able to grind out possession and score touchdowns in the red zone. That's our formula. And yet, you know, what we did a year ago, you know, played out over the course of multiple years may not be sustainable. I mean, we were number one in the country with respect to giveaways. And, you know, we had a really effective offense when it came to conversion down and red zone conversion. So what are ways that we can protect against kind of those statistics tipping against us this year? We got to be better at taking the ball away, so creating more possessions for our offense. We still want to have, you know, the same turnover margin, but we're going to accomplish that by giving our offense a little room for error and being a little more aggressive on the ball defensively. And then, you know, we need to get in the end zone faster in possession. So still want to be great on possession down. We still want to have this methodical approach. But, you know, when opportunities present for us to get the ball up and over the top of the defense, we need to execute. And there are kind of two elements to that. Obviously, there's the execution of the play, the throw, the catch, you know, and syncing up that way. But also, a lot of these shot plays come down to pass protection. And, you know, this is a place that we approved upon a year ago. You know, we have a quarterback who has, in his kind of nature, the ability to extend plays and to find windows in pass rush. But there are times where we need him to be able to stand tall in the pocket and get the ball down the field. And so that's been a focus. It starts with the run game, because everything's going to start with the run game. If you can get your run game going, you can get teams to load the box up. You can get defenses to take risks to try to stop the run. And once they take those risks, we have a chance then to get the ball up over and the top. In those moments, we need to be able to protect it and then obviously sync up with the quarterback and the receiver. But I've seen that in our offense. You know, I mean, again, we'll have to take preparation to performance, but I've been pleased with how that's looked to this point in our training.
We had a chance to talk to Martel Hite during the SEC media days, and I know you guys carefully. You even talked to Deion Sanders about managing. You know, obviously Deion did it, and then of course he had Travis Hunter. We've debated on how Travis Hunter's rookie year is going to go, trying to do what he did in college in the NFL. So how has the process been for you with Martel, trying to figure out what he can handle on both sides of the ball?
You know, we met on this today, actually, just trying to project what Saturday is going to look like and feel like for him. And this being our first time really doing it, you know, it'll be interesting kind of to get a feel for how it works for him, you know, keeping him as fresh as we can while also using him in situations where we're going to need him, both sides of the ball, obviously as a returner as well. You know, we lost Martel to a concussion for an extended period of time there in the middle of training camp. So we didn't actually get to do as much in preparation as we would have liked. We've gotten him back here over the last, you know, week. And he's looked great, and so we've worked him back up to where his player load and what he's trained for is going to allow us to use him in all three phases. We'll do that, but I would anticipate you know, us kind of being mindful of not overexposing him in game one, just because again he didn't get the full training camp, and we're still learning how this is going to impact him and how he will respond to a situation where he may play a defensive series, catch the punt as a punt returner, and then turn around and be on the field as an offensive player too. You know, what can he handle physically? How quickly can he recover series to series? You know, obviously this will be our first time through it. We want to lean on the side of protecting him, knowing that we're going to need him in all three phases as the year goes on.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Clark, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck Saturday against Charleston Southern.
Always fun to be with you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Clark. Clark Lee on the program. The Commodores open the season Saturday at home, a 6 p.m. kickoff at First Bank Stadium against Charleston Southern. 615-737-1025. There are 10, well, there are more than 10 days until the Titans open against the Denver Broncos, but we have 10 shows until the Titans open against the Denver Broncos. So how appropriate that we start a annual tradition here on this program. Willie is going to bust out the scrolls. It's time for question one of Willie Donick's 10 Titans questions. We will get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.